Welcome to the Creative Rise podcast, where we believe you deserve to break the creative struggle, and it should be simple.
We are so grateful you're here with us today. Let's dive in.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Creative Rise podcast. If you are watching, we are not in the studio. We are actually down here in Noosa, Australia, in Queensland.
In Queensland. We are loving it. We had an ocean dip this morning. We had pastries. We just came from New Zealand last night, so we woke up at like 5 a.m. because of the time change.
We're stoked. You woke up at 5 a.m.
She proceeded
to say, "You need to get up because I want to go get a chocolate croissant, a cinnamon roll, and jump in the ocean." So that's what we did.
It
was so good.
It was.
But guys, we're hoping you're having a great week. I don't know where you are in the world. Maybe you're in Australia. If you are, shout out to you guys. We're recording this from a little Airbnb we are in. Like I just said, in Noosa Heads, Australia. It is a beautiful day. Excited to have a shot on this podcast and talk about some fun stuff. Quick shout out, though. If you listen to the show, guys, I hope this is helping you grow your business. Here's an actual response from last week's episode. So this is how serious we are about podcasting. I mean, we brought our stuff all the way here to Australia. We are so serious about podcasting every single week. We have not missed a week in forever because we know it actually helps people grow their businesses, right? So I just got a message from Austin Farmer. So shout out Austin Farmer. He says, also, had a discovery call yesterday, closed a new $2,000 campaign as a trial run literally an hour after listening to this week's podcast. He listened to last week's episode, which is all about how to get people to say yes to you more often. And we introduced the idea, the concept of going, sometimes you don't have to start way, way up on this big deal. You can start relationships smaller on trial runs, and they can be free. Those can be like small scaled down deliverables you do for free. They could be even a $2,000 scaled down campaign, right? But he's stoked on it because he's like, hey, this client's epic. He said this client's actually a Colombia-based brand. They make handmade luxury products, blah, 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 blah. He talks to me about it. And he says at the end of this, he said, hoping this goes really well and I might end up actually getting flown down to Colombia to do future campaigns.
So sick.
So cool. But guys, put stuff into action. I love how Austin went, hey, I got an upcoming call. Let me listen to this podcast about how to get more yeses on my sales calls. He did, and he got a $2,000 trial run. $2,000 is like a solid amount of money for a trial run, right?
Oh, absolutely.
So Austin Farmer, great dude. Shout out to you. He was also actually in our mastermind.
Yeah.
Great guy.
Oh, awesome guy. Austin, you're so cool. But he was a part of, round 10 of the Creative Rise Mastermind, which if you haven't heard, if you didn't listen to last week's podcast, we dropped the dates for round 11. Round 11 of the Creative Rise Mastermind, which is our six-week signature program, giving creatives the tools, the community, and the accountability they need to build a six-figure business. And our next one is coming. And the dates are, round 11 starts March 3rd. So it starts March 3rd, goes all the way until April 13th. So six full weeks. Applications open February 19th. If you want to get on the wait list, go to creativerise.com. We got buttons everywhere. You can join the no commitment wait list. So get in on that. We'll talk more about what it is at the end of the episode, but let's jump on into it today.
Yeah, 100%. So guys, we're talking today about three ways you can actually have clients stick around for longer. Okay. So the concept is, you've probably felt this. I have for sure felt this, but you ever, get a deal. You're so excited. You finally sign a contract with a new client and then they're just gone before you knew it. They're like, wow, that ended really quick. What just happened? They canceled on me early, or they didn't want to re-sign when I thought they were going to want to re-sign, right? And you hear things like, hey, no hard feelings, but you just weren't the right fit. Or, you guys didn't meet expectations. Or, hey, Joey, you were just too expensive, which really means that my value wasn't there, right? I wasn't giving enough value to the client. Like, that is a horrible thing to feel. It stings. It's happened to me. I know it's happened to you. It's probably happened to you listening. If it hasn't happened to you, it's going to happen to you unless you finish this podcast episode. Maybe you'll have it happen to you way less. But we want to talk about what we've learned through these and how we've tried our best to engineer this not happening with our own clients because it hurts. It hurts relationally, right? It puts stress on your relationship with that client, but it also hurts your wallet. And the whole point of this episode, the whole point of this podcast, right? Whole point of Creative Rise is to put more money in your pocket, put more money in your wallet as a creative. It's to help you get paid to do what you love more often than sitting there going, man, I'm not getting paid to do what I love, right? So super important that we continue to give you guys stuff every single week on the podcast. And this, I think this episode is going to be really fun. So The first thing we want to talk about today, number one, when it comes to how do you get a client to stick around longer, it starts at the beginning of the relationship. A lot of people mess up on this, myself included. I did not used to do this really well. But I'll set it like this. In the early part of my career, I used to have these really loose relationships. Like I would...
Loosey-goosey.
I mean, when I say loose, I mean, you know, I would be going back and forth on DM or on email with a client or text. We'd go, okay, yeah, let's do it. I'd send them a contract. I'd send them an invoice. They'd pay me part of the invoice or the full invoice. And then I would just show up to shoot on the decided date, right? Like we decided on a date in the contract and I would just show up to shoot. And then sometimes that went well. Sometimes, you know, I'd turn over the content and there would be a disappointment in the client. They'd be like, oh, maybe this wasn't what I thought we were going to get, or maybe it wasn't as much as I thought. Maybe it's too much and it's overwhelming. And I would always be like, man, like what, how can I fix this, right? And what I realized was I did not have a really, really thorough onboarding process with intention so I can create aligned goals and really, really figure out what the client's desired outcome is. And the reason why this is a problem is because when you cannot figure out those things, and then additionally, you cannot figure out deadlines for those things, your client has an expectation that's unspoken. And an unspoken expectation will always, always, always probably leave the client, you know, discouraged with the end result.
That's good.
And so it's super important that if you want to keep clients around longer, number one is you have to onboard them with intention. So what does that actually look like? Well, though what I talked about earlier sounds simple, meaning like it was just super streamlined, a couple emails, set up a contract, get them an invoice, and then I show up to shoot. What it lacked was a really, really good 15 to 30 minute call in the beginning of the relationship, or it's a meeting maybe in person where I talk to them and go, hey, what are we actually trying to accomplish here? Like, what are your desired outcomes that I really need to know about? Again, what are your unspoken expectations that I need to figure out as the photographer or filmmaker here? What do you really need this project to do for you, this campaign to do for you that you have not yet said that I need to understand, because if I don't understand it, I'm probably not going to help you get that desired outcome. And if I don't get you that desired outcome, you're not going to want to work with me again, right? So a massive way that you can help clients stick around is by onboarding them really well, by asking them phenomenal questions in a discovery call, even 15 to 30 minutes, does not have to be long, that really helps you understand what their end result goal is, what their desired outcome is, and then you can build some goals with them and build a plan around that, right? And even better, you can then put deadlines on it. The worst thing you can do is when you get into a relationship with the client and there's just no deadlines on anything. It feels awkward because you're like, it's been 3 weeks or now it's been a month and a half and I haven't even gotten on the project yet. Like, are they gonna be mad at me? Like, that's a horrible feeling. So really understanding through an onboarding call, a really good discovery process, what their client's dream outcome is, what their desired outcome is, set some goals together, and then put some deadlines on it. If you can figure that out, the relationship will be off to a way better start. And because of that, clients will want to stick around longer.
Absolutely.
And then additionally, you don't just stop there. You don't just stop and go, oh, hey, we did our discovery call. We never have to do anything again. If you want clients to stick around even longer, having a great follow-up call, check-in, like mid-project check-in calls, these are really great.
Oh, absolutely. I actually have a story about this. When Joey and I first started working together on brand campaigns, I'd be like shooting the photos, he'd be doing the video. I remember one of our first brand campaigns together as like a couple doing it together, not just like him coming on mine or me going on his. I remember you were so much better at this than I was. Like, you actually taught me a lot about really good questions to ask, because I think I went into the relationship thinking like, these people are busy, they're like big corporate, so I just want to like get in, get out, be super efficient on my time and their time, and not like almost like overstay my welcome in how much I was asking of them to be a part of it.
You didn't want to be like an inconvenience.
I didn't want to be an inconvenience, which is like a big part of my personality. But also, it was so good because I remember I had this whole plan of even down to like specific vision of what we were going to do for this client. And I remember before we jumped on the call, you were like, okay, let's ask all these questions. And I was like,
we got on a discovery call
with their new brand manager, or sorry,
the director of brand.
Yeah. And I remember we jumped on the call and we asked him all of these thorough questions, like, hey, what would a home run look like for you on this campaign? What would, you know, what type of models are you looking for very specifically? Like, what locations, down to even like what facial expressions you want on the models. Yeah. And I remember thinking like, this is
tones,
so
colors,
in depth.
Everything.
But it was hilarious because at the end of that call, I was like, I am so glad that Joey pushed to ask all of these questions because my vision was completely opposite. Like I was going to do this like happy thing and he wanted something that was like more artistic and like serious. And I was like, dang, we would have bombed this campaign had we not asked these types of things. And then we shot the campaign, did the whole thing. And at the end, he literally sent us an email that was like, you guys nailed this in every single way. Like, I am so grateful and excited to like present this to the company. And I was like, we would have just been probably not got hired back or anything like that if we had done what we originally did. So you guys really focus in on that onboarding process. But then also, it's the same thing throughout the process. Like as you're working with people, you want them to rehire you or to keep on with you if you're in a retainer style model. And the only way you do that is prove your results. Mm-hmm. Prove the fact that what you're doing is worth it, that they're getting a return on their investment, that things are growing. So whatever those metrics look like for you, give updates and give explainers around those updates throughout the process of working with them. And then continually have those feedback conversations where you can talk about like, hey, what's going well? What's not going well? How can we be doing better for you? Because a lot of people will just go, we don't want to have the awkward conversation of telling them what to change. So we'll just fire them instead. Whereas you're like inviting that feedback. It's crucial to just having an awesome relationship.
Totally. So great point. I love that story. And I love that you learned something from me.
You should love that story. It's a good story about you.
Thank you. That made me feel very good about myself. But you do that really well now. Like yeah, really, really well. And you do that not only in the brand space, but you've also taken that back into like even the wedding space and stuff, which is cool. So, yeah. And you've taken that into some of your other clients that you had in the brand space prior to even knowing me. I've mm-hmm. watched you kind of like create new like relationship patterns with them where you start to ask for more feedback.
It has to be so intentional.
Yeah, exactly, right?
Yeah.
So guys, if you're wondering what this looks like, just a quick run over again. So point number one is you have to have a great onboarding process that helps discover what their desired outcomes are. And then you match a plan and goals on that so that you can actually, you know, hit that for them and you can create results for them. So results could be like X amount of followers and X amount of time on their new brand accounts on new platforms or something. It could be increasing sales on X products, right? It could be creating 3 great videos that will increase efficiency when training internal teams on production. It could be a, you know, 60-second sales video that helps their sales team with outbound sales, right? Because they've now got a visual that their sales team can use. And it's not just them blowing smoke over the phone. They can say, hey, click on this video if you want to see how we're creating impact for our clients. Like, you've got to figure out what that end result they want is so you can actually reverse engineer and create it for that client. So really encourage you to do that. So the takeaway for point number one is a 15 to 30 minute meeting to onboard clients by discovering what their desired outcome is. A plan, creating a plan with them to actually get them there and then putting deadlines on that is going to keep you in business longer and it's going to keep these clients wanting to work with you much longer than if you do not do that.
Yeah.
Very important.
That's so good. Okay, number one was like a wealth of information. These next two, a little bit quicker, but again, just as valuable. Number two is communicate more often and clearer than you feel you need to. So again, stop thinking like, oh, I'm an inconvenience for communicating. That is going to be like your biggest asset is communicating. Because if you think about any relationship, again, you have to think of these relationships with your clients as like relationships, not just like a business transaction. It's an actual relationship with a human. And if you are in a relationship or you have friendships, or you have family relationships, you know things start to go downhill when lack of communication starts infiltrating your relationship. So if you don't communicate clearly with your clients, you will most likely lose them. Just how if you don't communicate in a relationship, that relationship starts to dwindle and disappear. So focus on really clear communication. And what that could look like is like telling your client, hey, this is how best to communicate with me. Or if what is the best way to communicate with you? Is it text, email, Slack? Like what's going to be the best thing that works for you? And just making it very clear of like when they can be expecting responses, where they should be communicating. No business will ever want to keep working with you or client in a wedding client if they feel like they can't get a hold of you. If you kind of feel, if they're always kind of wondering, you know, when are things being delivered? What's happening with this? When are we having that call? If they have to like follow up with you, chances are you're not going to keep that client for very long. So make it super clear. If you have to have like a little roadmap of communication for yourself of like, oh, this is when, you know, they inquire, they're going to respond back in 24 hours. And then from there, I send them this form. And then I send them this form 3 months later, whatever it is, make sure you know your own plan of attack on communication and then clearly communicate that with the client. Mm-hmm. Communication is key.
Yeah. I mean, we I've been running an agency format for years now. So we hire, especially since we've been together, as we've worked on bigger and bigger projects, we hire people all the time for stuff. Yeah. The number one way that we will never, ever think about hiring you again is if you just don't communicate. Like if you're hard to get a hold of,
yeah.
We're not ever going to hire, we'll probably fire you on the spot. Like we cannot work with people that don't communicate. And I can only imagine bigger and bigger relationships, you know, with bigger clients. If I was working at a massive company and we're trying to work with creatives, if you didn't communicate well, like just gone. So if you are not responsive, meaning on time, and you also cannot communicate with respect, meaning you're actually kind, you're orderly, you're never going to get kept around, right? So crucial. So that's point number two, communicate more often and clearer than you think you even need to. Point number three is incredibly simple. It is often overlooked. But this is one of my favorite ways that I think creatives can easily get kept around. And I think very few people do it. In fact, I know very few people do it. And I know this because one, there was parts of my career when I was earlier on that I didn't really do this because I thought it was going to be kind of an inconvenience like you were talking about. And two, I know creatives don't do this because like I just said a second ago on point number two, we hire creatives all the time for stuff. And this is, you have to be thankful for the work. So if you actually thank your clients, the odds of them hiring you again and keeping you around are so much higher. I don't know what the actual data is, but I would assume a grateful creative who's actually verbally grateful, like, hey, thank you so much. Thank you so much. I really appreciated this. I cannot wait for the next one. I appreciated the feedback. Thank you for helping me get better. Like that type of creative guaranteed gets hired back 5-10x to 1, you know, of a creative who just doesn't really even look like they want the work. So it's so important, guys. Think about it this way. If you ever helped somebody with like a random task, like let's say you've got a new neighbor and they're carrying stuff in and they just look like overrun with everything they're carrying into their house and you're on your driveway for some reason, like, hey, let me give you a hand, you know? And then they thank you like so kindly, like, oh my gosh, like you did not have to do that, but I'm so grateful you did that. I wouldn't have been able to get all that stuff done myself. Thank you so much for coming over. And I know it was just a little, you know, piece of your day, but I really, really appreciate that. You will have a very fond view of that neighbor for the rest of your life. Like you will look at them and go, wow, like I just appreciate them. They're really grateful. They're nice. I feel like I've got a good relationship with them. The next time they might need help, you will be more likely to want to help them because they were so grateful the first time. Now, let's put this into, you know, context of working with a client. You're not necessarily needing help, but let's say there is a client that needs something. You help them and then you are, hey, grateful for the opportunity and they see you and go, wow, they're just really great to be around. I'm glad that we gave that person the opportunity because they took it seriously and they are grateful for it. They are going to be considerate of you the next time they have another opportunity for you, right? Yeah. Where the opposite of that is also true. If you know, hire somebody, and again, this happens to us sometimes, where we hire a creative and it just doesn't even seem like they want the work. Like they never say thank you. They're not super fired up for it. Once the project's done and delivered, they're like, here it is. They're not like, oh my gosh, that was incredible. Thank you so much. Like, is there any feedback? If so, thank you in advance for the feedback. I'd love to get better. Like, we just don't really want to hire those people back, right? So it is so important that you are someone who is genuinely grateful for the opportunities that are coming across your plate. And if you are, and if you exercise that verbally, you actually tell people you are grateful. Grateful for the opportunity, grateful for the feedback, grateful for the relationship, grateful for the patience they had with you, or grateful for the encouragement they had, whatever it's going to be, just thank them for everything. You will get hired back and kept around way more often than not. So a couple different ways to thank your clients. It can be as simple as a quick mention while you were at a wedding or you were on a brand set, like on a shoot. Hey, you're on the campaign. Hey, client, I'm just so grateful you brought me here. Like the weather's gorgeous today. It's so fun getting to do this with you guys. I'm just really grateful. I really want to make sure you know that I'm glad I'm here and I'm glad you've given me the opportunity. Thank you so much, right? Or you're at the wedding. It's, hey, oh my gosh, this is the biggest day of your life. I'm so glad that out of every single photographer in the world, you chose me to be here. And that means a lot to me. So I really, really value being here. I value being here with you on this day today. so grateful, and I'm so glad you're having such a great day, right? It can be something as quick as that 10, 15 second thank you in person. It can be a quick thank you on a discovery call. So as we talked about discovery calls or onboarding calls, on point number one, you can kick off that call by showing gratitude. Hey, so glad that you're giving me 15 to 30 minutes to talk about stuff today. I would love to just start off by thanking you and tell you I'm really excited for this opportunity. I do not take things like this, you know, lightly. I'm serious about this. I'm serious about getting you results. That's why we're having this call. But it needs to go said that I'm so grateful that we are even talking today. I'm grateful for this new relationship and for the opportunity. Let's get started. Like, that is a really, really good way to start a relationship.
I think that's honestly the perfect way. And the way that you even said that is also so good, because I think sometimes creatives are like, this is a very encouraging podcast for you right now. I think a lot of creatives are maybe like, I don't want to act super grateful because it'll make me look new or it'll make me look desperate. And I just want to say, like, if you're like trying to come off as like, oh, I don't need this, like, look how good I am or busy I am or whatever, and you kind of make your clients feel like you're not grateful for them, you're just not going to be working with people for very long. The people, honestly, that are doing the best are usually the most grateful, and they're very outwardly grateful for their clients. And the people that we've worked with who we honestly respect the most are the people who are, they're huge and they're massive and they are so choosy on what they take, but they are also so grateful and they're so expressive about their gratitude. Like, we work with even our clients who are like, you know, celebrity status, all these people who've done all these multi-million-dollar companies, they're the most grateful people we know. And they're the most verbally grateful people we know. So
yeah, very affirming. Yeah.
Super affirming. So you guys do that with your clients. It will help you keep your clients and keep that relationship going, which is super cool.
Yeah. I mean, it can be a gratitude email, super quick. It can be a shout out on socials. Shout your clients out on socials. Say, hey, I'm super grateful these guys are my clients. Check out what they're doing, right? Very simple. It can be a small Christmas gift to your clients. Even a Christmas card. Send your family Christmas card to your clients. Like, sounds funny, but someone there is going to receive that and be like, this is really cool. I'm going to remember these people. These people thought about us enough to send us a card like this. Like, so, so cool. Even a short text does not have to be big. So takeaway for this is thankful creatives get rewarded way more often than someone who is ungrateful as a creative, right? The person who is not only excited about the opportunity but grateful for it is going to get more opportunities come their way, because people want to work with people that are just grateful, right? So guys, to wrap up these three points right here, something that we really want to say is your skill will always help get you the relationship, but what helps you keep the relationship is your ability to be a good person. As a creative, that is so important. The skill will always get you in the door, but what keeps you in the room is how you are actually a decent human, right? I have worked with a lot of creatives. I have hired creatives throughout the years who are so talented, and I have gone and found somebody else who is less talented because they are just a better human. They got better communication. They're more grateful for the opportunity, and you just want to work with those people, right? Because people want to work with people they know, like, and trust. There is a sea of people who can do the job the same way you can do the job. You've got to be a good person on top of that if you want to get kept around, right?
Totally.
So important.
And you guys, we know that managing client relationships can be really tricky. And I hope this podcast was really helpful for you of like, hey, here's some like things that I can do to kind of make things more streamlined, more efficient, more communicative, and then more grateful. But we also know each client relationship is so unique. And sometimes an episode like this isn't all encompassing for you, right? Like, sometimes there's client relationship issues or something like that happening on the spot. And if you're doing business all by yourself, which honestly, most creatives are, they're kind of just like swinging at it all by themselves, day in, day out, trying to make this thing work. It can be really discouraging and isolating to be in that spot. And that is honestly why we do the Creative Rise Mastermind. It's because Joey and I have both been in the spots where we have felt isolated, discouraged, confused as a creative, and kind of felt like every time we went to go and talk to somebody, there was like gatekeeping, competitive spirit, not wanting to help out. So you end up just like hacking away things at your own, and you move so much slower doing it by yourself, which is why the Creative Rise Mastermind is focused on community. Because again, if you have a group of people that if something's going down in a client relationship, you have a group of people to go and go, hey, what do I do in this scenario? Like, I'm about to jump on this sales call. What do I do? Or I have this pitch idea for this company. What do you think? And you get to go to a group of people who actually get it, who are doing the things that you want to do and are in the place of business that where you want to be. And you can go to those people. That's massive. Like, that helps your growth exponentially go so much faster than doing it all by yourself. the Creative Rise Mastermind also has so much strategy. We do modules that are like, take the podcast, but like put it on steroids and give it like this all-encompassing how to build a six-figure business. Like all that strategy with
lifetime
all those
access
modules.
To that.
Lifetime too. Access. You can go through it literally whenever you want. But during the 6 weeks, we just make it jam-packed with accountability. We want people to come in who are serious about their business. So if you're someone that's like, hey, this is like my part-time little hobby thing that I just want to keep as a like fun side money type of thing, then this definitely isn't for you. The Creative Rise Mastermind is not for you. But if you're someone who's like, you know what? I want 2024 to be the year that I take my business to the next level. It's the year I take it full time. It's the year I hit six figures for the first time. Or maybe it's the year I pivot from, you know, the wedding industry to the brand industry, or from the brand to the wedding, or into graphic design, or whatever it is. It's the year where you really want to take things seriously. I would say consider the Creative Rise Mastermind, because it is literally, in our opinion, and again, we're biased, but it's our opinion of it is the best place on the internet to build a six-figure creative business.
Well, that's the goal, right?
And
that's
that
what we've been building for 4 years. And one of the reasons why it is the best place, in our opinion, and you kind of alluded to this, but there is such a sense of accountability. You cannot get left behind. And that's intentional. Like, I think, you know, the wave of online education that people are, you know, getting access to is incredible. As someone who grew up in the education system that didn't feel like I really, you know, fit in or found ways to benefit a ton just from the way I learned, the styles I learned and everything. I love the new wave of, hey, you can kind of get educated on anything you want on the internet now. One of the problems with that, though, is a lot of people get excited about something, they buy into something, they get access to something, and they never do anything with it because it's not actually structured with insane accountability. And that is the big difference about the Creative Rise Mastermind. Coming from someone who had struggles in school because I did not feel like it fit me, that I didn't fit in the box, we take that into consideration highly, highly, highly when it comes to what we do at Creative Rise, because it would be a massive failure for us. Someone was actually asking me about this the other day. Like, well, what's the success rate of people actually getting through all 6 weeks? And I was like, 100%. Like like everyone always finishes, you know, they're like a family. There's zero drop off. And people were shocked with that. They were like, wow. And I was like, well, it's because of the accountability systems that we build in. It's because of the intention and the actual desire from Christy and I to actually help people build businesses. So this is something you will not get left behind on if you are considering it. Super excited for you. If you are, 2024 is going to be an epic year. We are going to be working with about 70 to 75 businesses throughout two rounds of the Creative Rise Mastermind this year. You got to get in. So make sure you jump on in. Round 11 is coming up. Join the waitlist, creativerise.com. You can get all the info. You can also join the waitlist there. And if you have any questions about it, just DM us. We'd love to chat with you about it, give you all the information you need to make a great decision for yourself to see if it would be the right fit to help you get to where you want to get to this year with your business. So
yeah.
Other than that, guys, thanks for listening to today's show. Make sure, as we said last week, we were jamming on Reviews of Punch last week. Please leave us a 5-star rating and written review if you enjoy the show. It's one of the best ways to show grows, but the even better way the show grows is by taking a screenshot of this, post it on your Instagram story, tag us so we can see it, we can thank you, we can connect with you on there, and it just lets everybody else who you know that is also a creative go, wow, she or he is listening to the show and it's helping them with their business. I should probably listen to that too. It's a great way to help out your friends, your peers in the creative industry. So we'll catch you next week, guys, on episode, I think it's 159 next week. Crazy.
See you then.
Crazy. See you guys.
Thank you so much for joining us today. We were so happy to have you here.
And do not forget to jump onto iTunes, give us a 5-star rating, and write a written review. That would mean the world to us. And we'll catch you next time on the Creative Rise Podcast, where we believe you deserve to break the creative struggle, and it should be simple. Peace.